All right, this is Special Agent Gary Negronelli, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. It is August 15th, 2016. Approximate time is 2:47 p.m. I'm currently at the Punta Gorda Police Department. This is an interview with Captain Woodard. This is going to be in reference to case number FM-01-0027. Also present in the room is Special Agent Supervisor Patrick Crow. Captain Woodard, could you state your full name and spell it?
Jeffrey B. Woodard, W-O-O-D-A-R-D.
Okay. Your hand's already raised. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. What is your current position here?
I'm the operations commander for the police department.
Okay. And did you have supervision over Officer Cole?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, he was one of your officers.
Yes, sir.
How long was that for?
Month and a half, approximately, maybe 2 months, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Were you involved? How involved were you? Were you involved with any of his training during that time?
His training during the month and a half, 2 months, no. Prior to being promoted in I think September of last year, I was the training coordinator for the department. I was the lieutenant in charge of that. So I am aware of a lot of the training that he received prior to that. But as far as supervision for the last month and a half, 2 months, no, other than knowing that he goes to, he trains, I believe it's every Tuesday or every Wednesday with the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office.
Okay. And so, when he did that training, what would he do? Would he let you know, or would this be documented? Or
it is documented in the canine training module in RMS.
Well, okay.
In our policy, I believe mandates that he gets at least 16 hours of training per month, and we were allowing him to train. I think it was weekly, 8 hours or a full shift every single week.
Okay. So when he went to this training, then he'd come back, and that would have to be documented in RMS?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then do you have to go in there and, like, approve it or review it or anything like that?
The way it goes through, I believe it goes through the shift supervisor. It comes through as a regular report. They would review it and send it through, and our employee development coordinator is supposed to make sure that he is completing the mandatory monthly training hours,
okay.
which like I said, I believe our SOP is 16 hours, and he was doing it, I think, weekly.
Okay.
Every week he was training.
So I'd go in through RMS, I'd go to a shift supervisor
whoever the shift supervisor was for that specific, and I believe it's a canine report, and they would approve it. They have to approve it on their end.
Okay. All right. And then you said prior to that you were the training lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Were you more involved then with all the training that he was doing?
Canine-wise, no.
No.
I've never been, other than when I was in that role, I would go in and just make sure that he was meeting his mandatory training hours. But outside of that, I had nothing to do with what training consisted of, when he trained, or anything like that. It was more just a monitoring to ensure that he was meeting our SOP requirements.
Okay, all right.
Who certifies all that training? What organization?
As far as I'm...
To be a canine handler as a law enforcement officer in the state of Florida, who certifies the officer and the canine? The minimum certification required.
I do not know.
Okay.
I could go back. I know that he has the certification, I do not know. I know that he's had the training, but I can't.
Okay.
We do have our other Captain Jim Nichols, who's our reserve captain. He is a USPCA judge, and he's always been very involved in the whole training aspect of it. Because he was a canine handler for 20 some odd years, so some of those questions he would know probably better than I.
Okay.
But we do have all the training certificates should you need to see those.
Would they be in his personnel file?
They would be, yes, they'd be in his training Yes.
Okay. As far as getting back to the incident, we've talked to you and several others that evening about, including the chief, about the scenarios that you incorporate into this citizens training, the role plays. There's two different role plays that you did with two different citizens, correct?
Yes, sir.
The one involving the shoot, don't shoot, and then the one involving the fight. One involving the suspicious person with the gun, the mm-hmm. one that where this incident occurred, and then the second one would have been with two suspicious people fighting.
Yes, sir.
Correct? And then obviously there was the taser gun where they're allowed, some people are allowed to utilize that to see what it's like.
Yes, sir.
Correct? Okay. Who makes up those training scenarios?
The scenarios, to the best of my recollection, they came off of a YouTube. They were YouTube scenarios that some other agency did with a reporter. I want to say Arizona, possibly. I'm not sure where they. That's where the idea to use those scenarios came from.
Okay. And who in this agency is the one that gleaned or distilled that information from YouTube and put it into play here?
I believe it was the chief.
The chief himself?
I believe so, yes, sir. He would have been the captain at the time.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I think we started doing these scenarios about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Right.
And I want to say that that's where it came from.
Right. Is there any written scripts that lay out these scenarios?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Nothing in writing?
Not that I'm aware
okay.
of.
Any protocols that are written out, the do's and don'ts of what should be done or not done during these trainings?
No, sir.
Okay. Any safety precautions written out for safety like a safety officer being assigned to each scenario to check various aspects? Like I understand the chief went through the simunition gun with Mrs. Knowlton, correct?
Correct.
Anybody else playing the role of a safety officer that would have, you know, checked the weapon that was used by Officer Cole to make sure that gun was in proper condition and with the right ammo inside, such as blanks?
No, sir. I don't know who was. I don't think there was a designated safety officer that night.
Okay.
Is
there anything in written policy that mandates it, that it should be in place?
No, sir.
So there was no, as far as you know, violation of policy at this point, doing these scenarios without a safety officer?
No, sir.
Okay. However, nothing in writing has been established or even, should I say, found at this point as far as
a policy
yeah.
stating that that would, no, sir.
Okay. And there's absolutely no scripts to these scenarios, no written scripts of how things should go or maybe not go, or like if the person does, if the citizen acting as a police officer does A, then the suspicious person will do B. If they do C, then the, so there's nothing?
No, sir, there's no detail, that I'm aware of, there's no detail scripts that were ever composed okay. to direct the scenario.
So it would be considered more of an ad-lib situation?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Were the prior scenarios pretty much carried out the same way, though? Like it appears in the video, there's a confrontation, and then Officer Cole goes, you know, to get the gun, and is that pretty much what he does every time?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it was, I think there was one other time that we did it that we used a different role player. Lee Cole wasn't the role player, but it was played out the same, in the same manner.
Was the same gun use?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Captain. As far as you know, was there ever any time these past scenarios where safety offers were implemented and utilized? Do you recall anybody that's been utilized as an actual safety officer to check Officer Cole's gun to confirm what his load is? What's loaded in the gun?
No, sir.
Nothing in the, no, nobody in the past that you know played that role that we could talk to?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I think, I know from my perspective, my understanding was that was a blanks pistol. Just a starter's pistol that could not fire live rounds. And there was just no, in my mind, no scenario whatsoever where live rounds could have been introduced into that weapon. Now, on the other side of that, with the firearm that we provided Mary, I went into the armory and I actually had Detective DeVault with me, and I had him check over the ammo with me. I had him hand it to me individually so we could both verify that it was that they weren't live rounds. But there's just no, I still can't wrap my head around it. There's no scenario that I could envision live rounds being introduced into that weapon.
Okay. But again, just for the record, there's, you have no history of utilizing a safety officer, a second person to check the Cole's weapon before the scenario commences?
To my recollection, no, sir.
Okay.
Good. Anything else that you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think who was involved in the other role plays that might be able to. I can't say that they didn't happen.
Yes.
I don't recall ever witnessing them or doing them myself.
Or hearing anybody saying that they've been the safety officer.
Correct.
Or, you know, when discussing these scenarios, you've never heard the term safety officer being discussed about who's going to play the role as a safety officer, make sure things are safe.
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay, that'll conclude the statement, approximate time.